that's me.
It was you.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a leg to keep. He can't hang around. Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house.
Isle's house, the boys are back. We've got facial hair, high numbers, and a brand new season of New York Islanders hockey. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us all on Twitter. You can see our Twitter handles in our little boxes here. If you're listening on audio, I'm at EthanGSN. Jack is at Isle's Den. Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow the podcast page on Twitter at Isle's House. And subscribe to the Patreon. $5 gets you access to the Discord. $25 gets you access to the Insider channel on the Discord. We've got a great community. It's been rocking all offseason long. But we have a few games of preseason hockey under the belt, regular season, right around the corner. Everyone, how was your summer?
Summer's good. Brand new spot. Loving it. The 4 p.m. puck drops are a little weird, but we're getting used to it.
West Coast Jack, La La Land Jackie.
Hollywood Jack.
Rocco.
All good. Good summer. Ready to be back. It's kind of feels crazy. We're close to regular season already, right? When does our season start? The 7th, I want to say?
13 days.
13 days, exactly. Yeah.
Matthew Barzell days away. You got to pay attention to Twitter.
I wonder who Jack's posting tomorrow when we're 12 days away. I'm curious to see who's 12 days away tomorrow. But yeah, we're getting close. It's getting excited and really pumped to.
You'd be a fool to think that he doesn't already have the edit done. Yeah. He's been watching it for days.
And I'm going to check and go back through and see what are the longest ones. And I could guarantee you tomorrow is the longest.
Oh, yeah.
I actually don't know. I think I cut it a little bit.
You don't know, but I know.
Yeah, I don't believe that you actually cut it. All right. And Rocco, I mean, we're now fathers of two. That's some news that definitely affected our podcasting schedule over the summer while we were at the cottage.
Yeah. We weren't completely dialed in over the last week or two. We got a little busyness.
Just a little bit.
Double girl dad, both Ethan and I.
Yeah. That's right.
We took them all out to dinner today. It was quite the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But
shockingly tame.
Shockingly tame. My wife even said to me, I'm not going to name our little babies' names on the pod, but the two
smart.
You wouldn't even know if the two babies were there. But
yes,
the older two sure made up for it.
But, big time.
Yeah, but great time. A lot of good things all around, and we'll be locked in from here on out.
Locked in. All right. So let's start locking in. I don't know. It's going to be tough to be as locked in as Matthew Schaefer is, but early report card, A+ across the board for an 18-year-old.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just, I don't want to talk crazy here, but I think you guys might agree with me on this. I almost think from the standard of like a number one pick, he's almost been a little bit underrated, undersold. Like, I didn't
100%, even by myself.
Yeah, I expected him to be good, but then I watch him in these preseason games. And I feel like often when you watch the preseason games, you could kind of see, you know, this guy's maybe more of an AHL guy. This guy's just getting his cup of coffee. He'll probably be in the ECHL. And you could kind of tell who's an NHL guy, who's not. He looks every bit an NHL guy as players who have been here for 10 years. He has his little mistakes, this and that, but the skating has been incredible. And I had a tweet about it today. I've been really impressed with him in the defensive zone. I expected him to be a little lost at first, but he looks very comfortable. And I'm very excited. And I'm trying to temper my own expectations a little bit here, but he looks good.
I have no expectations for this team going into the season. We'll touch on. No. I'm just saying, just like across the board. I have no expectations for anyone. I think that's the best way to go into the season. We're going to save that. We're going to get back on the usual recording schedule. We're going to do our season preview, our predictions, so on and so forth. The eyes for the ice. Super impressive.
Yes.
Now, tell me if I'm talking crazy. Is he our best defenseman already?
It's hard to say. like just because we've only seen preseason. Like, of course we all.
I'm saying that as both a good and a bad thing.
As far as him and our future, it's a good thing. As far as the team this year, it's a very bad thing.
Yes,
if he's the best.
I feel like you guys don't agree with this, but I think Pelech is probably our best defenseman right now, just from like, just because like at a
defensive zone, that's fair, I would say, for sure.
Jack, on a defensive defenseman level, like
Adam Pelech scored 0 goals last year.
I said defensive defenseman.
I'm talking defenseman.
But Jack, defenseman. Quick question. So I'm not trying to cut you off, just quick question as far as this. Would you feel comfortable putting him up against the teams like top forward, like we were back when these teams were making Eastern Conference Finals runs? Do you think we can still see that Adam Pelech, or do you think he's a notch below at this point?
It's hard to say.
He's a notch below.
I think he's
definitely no. He's definitely a notch below. I just think from a defensive standpoint, he's a notch below across the board, but he's still pretty good.
But that's what I'm saying. If he's a notch below across the board and he's our best, that's also an issue.
Oh, 100%.
Our defense is worrisome as a whole.
The blue line is definitely the biggest concern going into the season. As of this second, I probably am more comfortable with like Pelech if I'm like making a cup run, and if I need one defenseman for one season right at this particular minute, I'm probably taking Pelech, but that really isn't a slight. I mean, Schaefer looks incredible. He's fast. He's smart. I love how like he just knows where to go with the puck. Like the instincts are there even when you don't see a play that can develop, like he has it ready to go. So I love what I see. And the best part is it could only go up from here.
Crazy.
Right, Ethan?
Jack. Oh, Jack. Young, naive Jack.
That's me.
What's the phrase? I think we've been using this with our New York Football Giants over the last few years. Never say that it can't get worse, because it always can.
Yeah, but I think we might have to make some sort of pact on this pod that every time we say Giants or Jets, we have to throw like a dollar in the jar or something, because I'm just so sick of these two goddamn teams.
Maybe. Or like it's like college football, like any criticism of an 18-year-old has to be qualified with, he's just a kid. He's just a kid. Yeah. But. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
He is the number one ranked prospect in hockey right now. Like,
okay, so I want to circle back on that original point that Rocco made that you just brought up again. Why is it that he is maybe not getting the national hype?
Can I be honest?
I mean, I know the answer you're going to say. It's because he's on the Islanders.
Yeah, that's but he's a defenseman.
I think that's more of the reason. I mean, you're getting the national glazing, right? Cam Robinson
back
was
check, the back check.
Ooh. Yeah, Cam Robinson was glazing him. Biz and the Chicklets guys were doing tricks on it the other day. It's like, it's very selective, and I think it's just because he's a defenseman. I think the Islanders obviously plays a part into it, but I don't know. Like last time, it's not as frequent where an offensive-minded defenseman goes number one overall.
Question, because I can't. I wouldn't have an answer to this because I was pretty young during it. But we're gonna have our first bleep of the season here.
No, Lord. When, yeah, the Hedman draft. Call it the Hedman draft.
No. Yeah, the Hedman draft. Last time we picked first overall, what was like, if you guys remember, it was a different age, of course, like with like the internet and everything, but what would you guys say was the more hyped up prospect picked number one? The 2009 first overall pick or Matthew Schaefer?
2009. It wasn't even close.
Really? Because you got to understand, too, 2009, it was a kid that was a prodigy since he was 14 years old. He was granted exceptional status in the OHL. I believe he started playing in the OHL when he was like 14, 15. And Matthew Schaefer's a guy that was not ranked number one this time last year. He kind of rose through the ranks and really popped this season. And he only played 17 games, but he popped so much in those games that he jumped to the number one overall. He jumps off the screen. And I've had conversations on this pod with friends in the Discord about this. I think that plays a big part of him sort of being underrated too. He just didn't play that many games. Because when you watch the clip, like if you go, I mean, for those of you who haven't seen, go look at Matthew Schaefer World Junior. Go look at Matthew Schaefer Hlinka Gretzky Cup. Like he absolutely jumps off the screen. And every clip, every game clip I've watched when he's on Team Canada, and in both of those scenarios, I believe he was on the same team as McKenna, and he was the best player on the ice in those games. And granted, McKenna is younger, but still, McKenna is this prospect that we're talking about, you know, maybe
years out.
Yeah, Bedard and Celebrini, like day one, number one, it would be shocking if he's not number one next year type deal. So the fact that Schaefer looked better than him, I think, had teams saying, you know, this is the guy. And as far as the whole dynamic of him being underrated, obviously, one is it's the Islanders. Let's be real. If he's on the New York Rangers, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Think about how much hype. Think about how much hype is around Lane Hutson. He's all over the place. Right. Like,
and Schaefer was there. Yeah, but I think there's a ton of hype around Hutson, and he's a very good player. I also think he's sort of like a one-dimensional-ish player right now. I don't 100%. Think he plays good defense. He's a good skater. Right. He's fun. So he's like a less polished Quinn Hughes for me right now, which is great. But again, like I think Schaefer has – like when I watch Schaefer play and Ethan, you're an unk, as the kids like to say, much like me. Scott Niedermeyer, like I get the Scott Niedermeyer vibes a little bit. You see that at all?
A little bit.
Like just the smooth – like the smoothness. Not the exact same, but just like he doesn't – look like he's going 100 miles an hour, but he is.
You would expect a guy that young who probably could put on 20 pounds to be more like a deer trying to walk for the first time sometimes in his own defensive zone, and it's not like that.
No, and he walks the blue line well, and he just like he has that those natural instincts you just pray for in defensemen. I mean, I forget whose podcast it was, but Barzal was on a podcast this summer, and he was literally saying, like, yeah, we've needed a guy that could walk the blue line like that for the longest time. No shade at Noah Dobson at all there, but
– oh, no. No. No.
But, yeah.
That's Tony D'Angelo erasure. That's what that is.
That's true, too. But he does have the instincts and the vibes of that guy we haven't had since I don't know when. I mean, I don't remember the last defenseman that was like this and hyped up like this for the New York Islanders. And I think the other side of it too is we're just not used to defensemen playing right away. The last one who did it was Dahlin, I believe. I don't remember a number one pick before that. Someone can remind me later on, but yeah, it's just been a while. I think we're used to defensemen developing. Makar took a year or two. I don't remember how many. Quinn Hughes took some time. Luke Hughes, who was very, very highly touted coming out, he went to college for a year. So a lot of these guys that are comparables, we're not playing in the NHL at the same time. So I think part of it too is just not having the comparables. Like you could – he's not – like Dahlin's a very, very good defenseman, but I project Schaefer differently. I think Schaefer's going to be more offense, less physical, more cerebral than a Dahlin type. So there aren't a ton of comparisons at the same age. So that plays into it. And it's just the – you know, goal scoring's fun. Forwards are fun. So those guys are just a little bit easier to say, hey – go to a Sharks game and watch Macklin Celebrini. Go to a Hawks game and watch Connor Bedard. It's a little different trying to market a defenseman, especially if you haven't seen much of him, which most people haven't.
Fair enough. Should we move on to the other newcomers?
Jack, you good?
Let's do it. All right. Who's first up on the list?
We're going to go – let's start with Maxim Shabanov.
Maxim Shabanov. As advertised?
As advertised, I have no clue. You know, I still have no clue. we're not going to know until he plays a real NHL game. First preseason game, I saw some instincts I liked, like quick with the puck, quick thinker. I just
– When I say as expected, I don't mean that necessarily – dude,
he's tiny.
I don't mean that necessarily in all the good ways. Like, will take some time to get adjusted. Is as undersized as we thought. Not a defensive liability. And we'll see if the offense translates.
Yeah, and I think
like none of the questions have really been answered.
No,
none of them.
I think, and I think you guys would agree with this, like totally different mindset than last year with Siplikov. Like Siplikov's a big body that we now see can probably play up and down the lineup. He may never be a superstar, but I'd feel comfortable with him on the fourth line. And say someone went down, I'd also feel comfortable with him having a spell on the first line type thing.
Mm.
If you need he has the skill. Like he's
using second line.
Whatever you want, top six, let's call it.
Middle six.
Top six versus bottom six.
But Ethan, I need to acknowledge one thing really fast about our Holmstrom-Siplikov bet.
Yeah,
go ahead. The first time, I've gotten a little bit nervous about it, and it's only because of the
fact. It took you this long?
Only because Simon Holmstrom has graduated from caring and trying in the preseason, and it has me a little nervous. He's got some confidence now, man. He doesn't give a fuck out there, and it's kind of scary.
Listen, dude, get ready for 25-35. It's happening this year.
It could happen.
I'm excited for him, but yeah, as far as Siplikov, like it's just different. And what I was getting at is, do we have an official pronunciation? Shabanov? Is that's correct?
I think it's Shabanov, but it could be Shabanov.
We'll see game one when Brendan's calling.
Yeah.
Shabanov. He has to play in the top six. I don't think he could play.
You would think.
I mean, if he's not in the top six, I don't think he's going to make it because you have to play a more pest. At least I know today's NHL is different, but semi.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've been talking about this for a few months now. This is a new Islanders. This is not third line. This is not third line shutdown line. This is you expect scoring up and down the lineup, and you need to in this NHL.
Yeah, but I just think with his, I mean, would you guys agree? In order for him to succeed, he needs to be in the top six.
100%.
I don't know necessarily. I would say he has a much greater chance of success.
So if a guy is a top six forward, he has greater chance of success, Ethan?
Well, you're talking about second. Like, I don't think he's a first line player, but if you're talking second line versus third line on this team.
Because of his stature and skill set, I think he has to be with the skill guys. Like, I don't think this is a guy you can put on a line with JGP and.
But could you put him on a line with Cal Ritchie?
You might be able to put us three on the line with Cal Ritchie the way he's looked so far.
Well, he's on the list. We'll get to him.
Yeah, we'll get to him. But yeah, I'm not going to bail myself out of a question like this one, but yeah, Shabanov to me is a complete wait and see because he's never even played in North America before. And he's
the only thing I'll add, pretty much on point. Like he just, he's shown some flashes. Like you'll just see like a pass here, a little move to the net here. Like it gets you excited. So
he's like an guy, right? Like that little, ooh, nice little pass. Ooh, nice. But then it's
a little bit of something like we don't see very often here. Like when Barzal and Schaefer, well, last season when Barzal gets on the ice, like you never know what's going to happen with him. He's an exciting player to watch. Like suddenly now you have Schaefer and now Shabanov, who is pretty, he just has like a dynamic skill set. So it's still exciting to see him out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up,
we're going to go with, let's go to David Riddick. Let's go to, as I like to call him, I'm worried about him saving a puck, Dave.
Well, how about this, Rocco? I believe you got some the backstory behind the Big Save Dave nickname. I don't know if you care to share the lore.
Let me. I got to share it, but let me try to scroll here.
Because it's much deeper than simply rhyming save and Dave.
Yes, it's deeper than that.
Ethan made like a kind of serious joke in the Discord before that Sorokin should be taken out because he's going to be playing 60 games. Kind of what I've felt through watching a couple of preseason. And look, I'm coming in with a preconceived feeling and bias and notion.
You are. You don't like him.
I don't really like this player, and I have seen nothing to install any confidence, but goaltending is so that the variance is just out of control. So can he maybe luck into some wins? I mean, hell, before Hogberg was ducking, he looked pretty good last year. So I really don't know, but I'm worried about Dave, man.
Yeah. So for those of us who are in the Discord, we all know the legend, the Euro Scout that I also mentioned. The man, great dude. Talk to him all the time, talk hockey, really dialed in on guys over in Europe. So he messages me the other day and he goes, I'm not sure if you know the true backstory of quote unquote Big Save Dave. So he tells me Dave lets in quite a lot of low danger chances. he pulls these highlight reel worthy saves. The general opinion on him in Czech and Slovak circles is that he isn't an NHL goalie.
Oh, boy.
Some people even say that to his face. And once he answered with, there are those big saves that make money. And that's why, ever since that moment, he's called Big Save Dave.
Okay. So there's a little like more that.
To the Big Save Dave nickname.
That's a guy that oozes confidence. Unlike some other goalies on the New York Islanders who cry in the tunnel during playoff games.
I'd like him to save the low danger ones from time to time as well.
Yes.
Like, he oozes confidence, but at the same time, guys in Czech and Slovakia are like, oh, the Islanders signed him. I'm not even sure he's an NHL goalie.
Yeah.
Put it this way, I think we're going to miss Varley a little bit this year.
And we missed him last year.
We missed him last year, but I think, like, we're now coming into the reality of not having a really good backup goalie.
We also don't have a good defense.
We also don't have a good defense. So Big Save Dave, it's on you, bud.
So
should have kept Skarik around, dude.
Basically, it could get ugly.
It could get ugly.
That's but
maybe
not.
Maybe he'll, you know, make the big save when it's time.
We can hope.
It sucks because, like, one of the things I wanted Darsh to do in the offseason was address this and sign, like, a proven.
Who was your guy again?
Backup. Vladar? Who do I want? I wanted Vladar. He ended up getting some good coin over in New Jersey. I think
people were listening to the pod and you got that man paid.
Was it New Jersey or Philly with him? I don't remember, but I got Vladar paid.
Yeah.
So we can go off of Dave now. I think we've made our points there. Let's do Jonathan Drouin real quick. I just feel that with, like, a veteran NHL player like Drouin, who's been in the league almost a decade, if not a decade, it's just kind of – these are just reps for him. He's just getting his feet wet. I'm not really evaluating anything I see from him. So that's all I got.
I have one evaluation. It's going to take me a long time to get used to him in 29. Because when I just thought it was Nelson, and then I'm like, wait a second. Cal Ritchie. We don't have Brock Nelson anymore. This is Jonathan Drouin. And he's a lefty too, which makes it worse. Like, if he was a righty, I'd be like, okay, he's gone, whatever. But, like, just when he's skating down, you see the left-handed guy skate down 29. I keep thinking it's Brock Nelson. So that's going to take me time, but I completely agree with what Jack said. The veteran guys, I really don't judge hard in preseason because I think they're just going through the motions, trying to get through it, and let's get to the regular season.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, the 29 thing is – it's not a right. pretty set.
Oh, one thing on – well, just Drouin and Shabanov too. I do like that they're putting Shabanov, Horvat, and Drouin together. I think that
– Me too.
It's attempting to set them all up for success.
Yep.
Agreed. So next up, I'm saving best for last. We're going to go fourth, Emil Heinemann.
Dog. I like him a lot.
I like Heinemann. He's kind of been everything – so far in the preseason, he's a younger player, so we can definitely evaluate. Like, I feel like he's 23, been exactly, Jack? What?
Sorry to interrupt you. 23 years old, I think?
I think, 23. That's right. He's been everything as advertised, I'd say. I mean, he's just kind of like a bull. Like, he's just flying around the ice. Like, and he's got a nice release, too, when he can get teed up. Like, he had a nice goal in New Jersey. I don't know. I like what I see from Emil so far. He's probably going to
bottom it six lines like, from.
I think he's the I think you have to say he's the front runner for the fourth line left wing or fourth line role, which I think is a battle between him, Gatcombe, and McLean.
I gotta be honest, from what I've seen in the preseason, and I watched some tape when we acquired him. I'm not gonna act like I was all over this guy and knew his whole game, but I watched him a bit on the Canadiens, just like kind of knew of him, and then when we got him, I really like dug in and watched. I think he's going to become like a fan favorite because he's got that sort of game. Like, we sort of need to move on from the identity line and whatever else. And we still have Cizikas, but I think he's sort of going to take on that role of, you know, bottom six fan favorite type player.
Yeah.
He plays a hard game and he's got some skill. Like, I don't think he's going to be a guy that plays on the fourth line and has a stat line of like, 5 goals, 15 assists. Like, he'll get 30, 40 points a season. Is that fair?
30.
30 is fair. 40 might be a bit much, but on his, in his best years, maybe 40, I think would be fair. And then average year 30, which is great for someone that's going to play his role.
Yeah. So far what you see is like Heinemann, when the Islanders used to start their fourth line in like a playoff game and you'd feel good about it, like Heinemann feels like a step back in that direction.
Yeah.
Agreed. And it, you just need players like that. Like, so many guys just that used to do that had just lost a step and we're just watching them on their last legs. Now you feel like you rejuvenated and got someone that's up and coming and will become that instead of on the back nine.
We do have to acknowledge like the competition going on there, because that's really the only one. I mean, I guess we could talk about Richie in a minute, but like, you guys think McLean, Gatcombe, and Heinemann all end up making the team and Engvall goes down, but Engvall might also be on IR, so one of them will have to go down.
It's, what do you guys see there? I do know, Jack, we do have this as one of the questions for the Q&A later.
Okay, so let's save it.
I know we have someone put it in. I think Elkin asked us that to like go over the lineup and who we think is in, so maybe we could save it for that.
Okay, that works.
I think that's where we're going to get into that competition, because you're right. There isn't really that much competition with this roster this year. Like, I think a lot of the spots are set in stone, and then it's those extra spots that are up for grabs.
Exactly. But the only player that might be making a competition is next up, and that is Cal Ritchie.
Period.
Where do we even start? I mean, this guy has definitely been the most impressive player in the preseason relative to expectations.
Thank you, Brock.
Ripped a beautiful goal. I mean, this might – like the early, just watching these preseason games, I really try not to get too excited about the preseason, but given what we've heard before and what we're seeing now, I mean, this trade might age better than many that we've seen for this team in a long time. Like, this guy looks like he has it. I was honestly most impressed, not by his goal, but on the power play goal for Heinemann. That one touch pass, like, that is high level. That is just high level stuff. And it's just, it shows his IQ, his ability. The fact that he's ripping ones, he's setting plays up like that. Like, I'm really excited about this guy.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things, had we not gotten Schaefer, we'd be talking about this guy nonstop. It's just the fact that we somehow got a prospect that jumped right above him immediately.
And we also just don't know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, and it's just like one of those seasons where these two really good prospects are on a team that just so happen to have like a lot of really solid forwards that are taking roster spots. So it's not an automatic that a Richie can make it. So it's going to be really interesting what they do. I know who's banged up right now. We got Lee's banged up. He's not playing. I think he practiced today, though, so I'd imagine he's close. Like, I'd assume Lee will be ready to go for the opener.
I just really can't believe that the Avalanche traded a two-way, because that's what I've seen so far. He's a two-way right-handed center with this skill set. Like, I didn't know he was going to look like that.
That's what teams do, Jack, and that's why.
I'm blown away, man.
And then you stopped. Dot, 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 and then nothing ever came.
Like, the Islanders don't make trades like the Avalanche made. They don't. Like, they haven't, like, you know, Lou never acquired of, you know, like, I guess Horvat, but, like, teams are desperate.
Player. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was. I still can't. I mean, kudos to Lou. Listen, we don't know what Richie's going to be, but just from a value standpoint, I just want to touch on it again. Like, that was an insane return. We also have a first round pick on top of Richie.
That's ridiculous.
Which is probably the craziest part.
I would have done it for Richie straight up.
Same.
Yeah. I think most GMs would have.
Yeah.
But again, this is what happens. Lou, to his credit, took advantage of a super weak market.
Yes. And only because Brock said I won't extend. Otherwise, right, he would just still be here.
Pretty
Thank
much.
Thank you so much, Brock. Yeah. Seriously. Oh. Drouin's wearing your number in honor.
You know what they said on the broadcast today that I totally forgot about? They were teammates at the end of last year.
Right, they were.
I forgot. Drew N was playing with Nelson at the end of last year.
Yeah.
So that trade basically ended up being like Drew N, Richie and the first for Nelson.
Yeah.
They basically swapped teams. But yeah, as far as Richie, the one like big question mark going in, I feel like a lot of people were talking about the skating, like maybe the skating wasn't there. I haven't seen anything that makes me feel like it would be an issue. Have you, Jack? Have you, Ethan?
No.
He looks solid. Like, he obviously, no one looks like Schaefer, but I don't see anything like a Kiefer Bellows back when we watched
it. Listen, there are some centers you just don't need that blazing speed.
No.
You need the smarts, the stick skills, and you're going to have a fine career. You know, not to bring this up, but like Alex Barkov is not some fucking blazer.
No,
he's just super smart. He's got a great stick. He's got good size. Mm-hmm. He's just good. Like sometimes it's just hockey players are just good. You don't need to overthink it.
Yeah, it's just he thinks quicker than other players. I think that's what it is. So he'll be in a spot before someone else is. So you could get away with, if you have that, you can get away with being a half step slower skating wise.
Right.
If your mind operates faster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm obviously, I think everyone knows I'm super high on Cal Ritchie. Really excited about him. The only question is not if we're going to see him play this season, just like what game this season. Is it going to be game one, game 20, around the deadline? Or do they really want to push him and let him play in Bridgeport?
I mean, can I be honest? Like, what's the issue with health bombing Cizikas?
It's just not going to happen.
Well,
it says
when we break down who's making the roster and who's not, but it's not as simple as just health bombing Cizikas, because there are the Gatcombs and McLeans of the world that would then go on waivers. And I know most people won't care about that, but an organization like the Islanders, who obviously it's asset management, right? This guy's got a one-way deal and we have to waive him. This guy Richie's on the cusp and we can just send him to Bridgeport for now and then wait for the first injury to happen. So it's not always about just who outright deserves it. Sometimes like a tie goes to the one-way deal, right?
Or how about tie goes to the better player?
It should, but again, I just...
In a season in which you could argue the coach is coaching for his job.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe not, but...
He's loving his beard, by the way, man. He's got
that beard
rocked.
I will say, too, Gatcombs looks out. Not to take... Gatcomb?
Yes.
Yeah, he's looked good.
New York's got the gat, and New York's got the scat.
One thing quickly, one thought, like it makes me kind of sad to watch.
Jack's having sad thoughts.
No, it's just kind of sad to watch Jeffries and Maggio out there and think back to 2 years ago.
When
these guys were like the best part of the prospect pool. It's like, I kind of feel bad for those guys. Like, I hope Rocky Thompson helps them a lot. Because they're going to need it.
I thought the same thing, Jack, because when you got that notification today, like, I'll send Alex Jeffries, Matthew Maggio, and there was like someone else in there that's just like a straight up AHL guy, just down. And it is, you're right, it is kind of crazy because we were preying on these guys a couple years ago, and now they're like afterthoughts.
It sucks.
If they become fourth liners, it's a win at this point, right?
Yeah.
So
it's nice to have like some more depth, but I was going to start talking about some other guys, but we'll save it because I feel like the questions are going to come in for it. But yeah, so we're all feeling great about Cal Ritchie. So I guess we can move forward from here.
Okay. What's up next on the docket?
Trouble in Paradise. Couldn't wait for this one.
Listen, before we get into this, I am a hater. I am a hater professionally. I am a hater in my veins. I breathe hate. I hate players. I hate Noah Dobson. So if you're going to listen to this next segment and you're going to say, wow, you know, Ethan and maybe Rocco and Jack are enjoying this a little too much, or it's too early to enjoy the Montreal Canadiens comments and their fans' comments about one Noah Dobson, you're right. It is. And I don't care, because I'm a hater. All right, Jack. Do you happen to have those tweets pulled up?
I don't think I do, but it's easy. Just go to the
I'll grab it. NHL Watcher.
Right to the NHL Watcher.
Yes. The notorious NHL Watcher who doesn't watch the NHL.
Where are we going? Should we start with the great Pierre Maguire?
Yes.
You got it, Jack? Because I got it too.
Pierre Maguire on the Sick Podcast talking Noah Dobson. Quote, "Now you understand why Lou Lamoriello refused to go down the path of over 8 million AAV. Now you know."
Second "now you know" put me over the top.
Oh, Pierre, we love the Sick Podcast in the Isles House Discord.
Oh, yeah. Beginning and ending with "now you know." That's
and we got one more. The NHL Watcher has grown frustrated rather quickly, stating Habs media already complaining about Noah Dobson's compete level, lack of grit, lack of intensity, and defensive liabilities.
Oh, man.
He checks all those boxes. I mean, even
a hat trick.
Yeah. I would think even most of the biggest Noah Dobson supporters or previous supporters now that he left, like, most of those things are true. Like, he's not tough. I mean, you'd see guys jam at the goalie and he'd kind of just like skate to the bench. Like, bro, push someone out of the crease.
Something. Let me just say this.
Say what you want, Ethan.
I've said it before. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say it a million more times. Rocco and Jack, if your good friend said, "Hey guys, I'm getting married on July 4th. Would you be like, "Great, can't wait to be there"? Or would you mutter under your breath, "You fucking asshole"?
Selfish.
I would never trust someone doing that.
Narcissist.
Nor would Canadian fans trust someone who agreed to get married on Canada Day. What a disgrace.
Not only Canada Day, keep in mind, day one of free – wasn't it day one of free agency?
Yeah, it's always – Canada Day is always day one of NHL free agency.
Yeah.
A complete, total disregard for your friends in the league who may be undergoing a very stressful day to decide, "Hey, I'm going to get married on that day, and I'm going to make you all come to my Prince Edward Island wedding and give me money and gifts and pretend like you're happy to be there while you're sweating out texts and calls from your agent." Selfish.
Only thing I will say on Dobson – that's kind of nice, is I saw that he actually is already injured, and that sucks. Yeah, he hurt his ankle, I think. It says he's like week to week right now, maybe day to day. But yeah, we don't want to see that. We hate that. We want him out there, and we want him playing like ass out there, because we don't need him on the sidelines getting excuses. We want him out there front and center for all of these guys to just ropes.
Oh, Jack, I love you.
Like version of Stephen A. We don't care.
That's a clip.
That was a clip. Jack's version of that. We need him out there. That's going on TikTok.
That's a clip.
We need him out there.
We need him fully healthy and absolutely sucking ass.
Yeah.
Front and center.
Yeah. But yeah, never wish injury, but you know, I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but we'll be looking back on this trade in a couple years and we'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
No. We're going to be looking back at this trade in 2 months.
We're going to be looking back. I'm sorry. I didn't mean us as in us three, but like just the general hockey population. I think this is going to be one of those trades everyone looks back at and is like, "Ooh, I don't know."
Bro, they're gonna want to chase him out of town within.
Canadians, you know what? Fun fact I heard on 32 Thoughts the other day. They were going through it. Who's the all-time point scorer from PEI, Prince Edward Island?
I have no idea.
It was Brad Richards. And then Elliot Friedman goes, or Kyle goes, "Who's the top scoring defenseman of all time from Prince Edward Island?" And I literally said it in my head. I go, "I bet it's Noah Dobson."
Yeah.
Sure enough, it is. And they bought it.
Let me tell you. I've been to Prince Edward Island. I've been to Prince Edward Island.
You have?
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of random?
Very random. But I really wanted to go. This was years and years ago.
Okay.
And I'll tell you this. Prince Edward Island is producing potatoes and meth heads. They are not producing hockey players.
All right. Shout out Brad Richards and Noah Dobson.
Yeah, that's the old LeBron meme. Like the
yeah. Prince yeah, Rocco's it's Rocco's favorite meme.
Yeah. That's
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're up to the questions.
All right. Let's do the questions.
You got them, Jack? You want me to pull them up?
Oh, I'm reading them. Let's do it. All right. Okay. When did we start these?
Plug if you want to if you like listening to the podcast and you want your question read and answered on the podcast, you need to be a member of our Discord. To be a member of our Discord, you need to subscribe to the Patreon. $5 a month to cut out the noise and some of the most moronic takes you'll ever see on X, the everything app, for a really great tight-knit community with opinions that are all over the spectrum. So there, that's the Discord plug. And you may have noticed throughout this episode that I just forgot to mention this little QR code in the top left corner. Scan it. And if you'd like, it's our merch store. Our merch is on the way. And hopefully we'll be rocking it in an episode or two. So, all right, Jack, you got the questions pulled up?
Yeah, thank you for buying me some time there.
You're welcome. That's what I do, buddy. I've been doing this for a decade.
Yeah, that was awesome. But we got to send some condolences out before this question to Data Dom for the roast we just put on his favorite player, Noah Dobson.
It's okay. I'm sure after game two or three, he's going to be sending charts in the Discord and telling us that we're all idiots, but that's fine.
We already
and shout out to him for changing his name to Data Dom. I love that.
Yeah, and also listen, he may call us idiots, and he's right. I am an idiot.
Same.
But I am right about Noah Dobson.
And Dom's wondering, does the Engvall injury announcement essentially lock McLean and Gatcombe into the 13th and 14th forward spots on the roster, or is there a different dark horse forward to make the team?
Richie, right? I think that would be the only other one that makes it ahead of them.
They don't want him to play wing, though.
Yeah, they don't want him at wing. They've made it pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want him at wing, but this is just my personal opinion. I know they want him at center, but would it be the end of the world if he plays a little wing? If they just, you know, saw it in him, hey, let him get a little bit of time, get used to the league, whatever. I wouldn't mind it, but yeah, I guess it is in regards to that as a wing. It is Gatcombe versus McLean, right? Even if Engvall's healthy, do any of us think he's going to be given a roster spot, barring like two or three injuries?
They said something on the broadcast that raised my eyebrow tonight, like when Brendan or Thomas Hickey said that, you know, with Engvall being hurt, it like opens up the chance for Gatcombe and McLean. And I was thinking, like, do they know something here? Because that was kind of interesting. I personally would guess that Engvall's on the team. And it just goes back to like the previous regime had no problem sending the 7-year contract, $3 million down to Bridgeport. But, you know, Darsh being a big salary cap guy, I'm not sure that he's going to want his asset to completely keep on declining. Like, I think that he's going to try to give him a chance here based off of last season to try to build up even like half of the value that he possibly could have. So I actually think he would have made the team, and I think he will. I think he'll be on IR, unfortunately. But to answer Dom's question, I think it does lock in Gatcombe and McLean. But a guy like Matthew Highmore, I think, had a chance to really make the team as one of those forwards, but I don't think he showed out enough in camp or preseason.
Yeah, he's on a two-way, though, isn't he?
He is, but given his NHL experience last year, like he appeared in a playoff game for Ottawa.
Yeah,
like
he's played
experience, but I just don't think he's shown enough to be over McLean.
Okay, Jack. So here's a question: in a perfect world where everyone's healthy and Engvall didn't get surgery or whatever he just got that's going to keep him out a couple weeks, you see a world where they would waive Gatcombe, which they'd have to do because he's on a one way now. They would waive Gatcombe to play Engvall. I don't see that. I think they would let Engvall ride the ferry.
I think they would waive McLean.
Is he one way or two? He's one way as well.
He's one way. I think they
would drop McLean and let him play.
I do actually think they would. And
if you're giving me a choice between McLean and Gatcombe, it's Gatcombe.
Absolutely. But I honestly, if you're giving me a choice between McLean, Gatcombe, and Engvall, it's McLean and Gatcombe. For me.
Well, that's because, well, I think the problem is we keep on, I think all of us, due to the last few seasons, are just like, kind of trained to think, how can we save the most money because our cap room right. has zero cap dollars? Like, that's not the case anymore. Like, he could actually be up here and be healthy scratch sometimes. Like,
yeah, instead of just waiting. Yeah, that's a good point too. I honestly, I'm guilty of that as well because I'm so used to us.
Yeah,
I believe under Lou, almost always we carried 22.
Always
pinching. Yeah, I was thinking pinching pennies.
That. Yeah, it was like one extra forward, one extra D. That's it. And then if something happened, it would be some like sketchy behind the scenes move of like, oh, we dropped this guy to save a couple dollars here and there for like, you know, paper transaction, they call it. Like, oh, this guy goes down just for the off day and comes back up to accrue more cap. So, yeah, I do forget that sometimes that we can now, I believe, pretty easily have the 23, right?
Yeah. So the perk of sending Engvall down isn't really there unless you really want somebody to take that contract, which I don't think the value of his deal is still something people are going to sign up for. So I think that maybe they'll attempt to have him succeed in some way, shape, or form.
I think it's – I don't want to say the injury by any means is a good thing for him, but, like, confident – like, once he's healthy, we know how it is. It's hockey. By the time he's healthy, someone else will probably be down, and he'll –
yeah,
get that that's spot. As you said, like someone else will be banged up, and you could put someone else on the shelf for just for a little bit. Have him come back, and as you say, just be the healthy scratch. Or if there's a couple bad games in a row, put him into the lineup for someone who's playing poorly. But it's just a tough forward wise. This is a tough roster to crack for anyone that's not those first 12 guys.
Yeah. Next.
Yep. Next.
Josh. Is the lack of speed on either side of Barzal a concern for his line?
So who it's Barzal, Palms, and Lee? Is that who it's set up to be right now?
Is it Shabanov with Horvat and
Drouin?
I believe it's Horvat's with Shabanov and Drouin, and then Barzal's set to be with Lee and Palms. And then the third line, I believe, was going to be Duke, JGP, and Holmstrom.
Yeah, so I'm not concerned about it, and I would be.
Hasn't stopped him before.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped him before. And plus, like, this isn't Wahlstrom and guys that are not high IQ players who don't know where to be on the ice at all times. Like, these are players that are smart, that know where to go and find their spots, and knows Barzal will find them. So I'm straight up not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not super worried either. I feel like in the past, Barzal would be on a line with Lee and then someone else who couldn't do too much, or be on a line with a guy like Palmieri and someone else that couldn't do all that much. So I think it's nice. Both flanks, you have two vets that score goals. I mean, it'd be if they both play the full season, I feel like you pencil both of them in pretty easily for 20, right? That's like Palms and Lee. Those guys score 20 goals. So as we know, Barzal's a big-time pass-first guy. Good guys to have on your line. I'm fine with it. I'm not super worried. And if it does feel like that line's too slow and maybe it's overload of skill on the other side, you put Shabanov or Drew in.
Yeah. One of them. We've done this before, Rocco. the lack of worry over two guys aged 35.
Twenty goals. I don't worry because I'm just in this mode this year. This team can't hurt me. Because it's either all about the future or we're just.
I get it. I'm just somehow good. I'm wondering how that's your thinking after the number of regressions we've seen.
Well, I just asked you guys before saying it. Would you pencil both in for 20 goals? You both said yes.
I don't think I said yes. If I did, I wasn't paying attention. I would not
pencil in for 20, Palmieri.
I'm not putting. Yeah.
But you would pencil in Lee. If they play.
Yeah, fine.
So that's why I'm saying I'm not worried. It's Barzal's dealt with much worse in the past. So I'm like, I don't think it would be an abysmal line by any means. That's true.
This is a good line for him.
The biggest question in the top six is the other line to me. Because what do you get out of Shabanov? And is Drouin just a McKinnon merchant?
We have to find those things out. That's my biggest question for Drouin.
Oh, man. Horvat's pretty good. He's obviously not McKinnon.
I love Horvat, but Drouin, again, shout out Euroscout, like giving me what he hears on his end. Like, he's a guy people consider, like, sometimes he kind of just looks like he's checked out. Like, if it's not a big moment or he's not on the best team.
Which, unfortunately, may be easy for him to do at some point this year.
We'll see. But again, it's a big question with him. He just got paid. We know how things go when guys just get paid and maybe they get a little comfortable. Big, he's going to be a big talking point this year.
Yeah.
Moving on. So Yolk, no. In a scenario where Kaprizov won't sign in Minnesota and wants an 8-year extension, what type of package could we put together to make it work? Parentheses, if we even can. Or is it more likely that this turns into more of a Marner scenario where he goes to free agency or does sign and trade in the offseason?
Marner's more likely. Not, I mean, I could see it being a deadline thing, but.
I think he's getting moved.
He has to.
Well, when do you think he's getting moved?
February. Garen's in shambles.
All right, but here's the thing, and this is the tough part, and this happened with Ehlers. I'm not saying Ehlers is as good, but you're in a situation where you have a guy in an expiring deal, and you're a good team. So it's not so easy to be like, oh, well, we're trading him. Because most of the teams buying at the deadline are offering you futures. Most of these teams will not offer you a player that could help you now. So you either take Kaprizov and make the run in the playoffs, or you get what you can get. I'm of the opinion you get what you can get because he's too good of a player to let go for free. But that's not how most of these teams operate. They want to win the cup. If they think they have a chance, they go for it. So it's a tough guy to move. So I, first of all, I don't think he's coming to the Islanders at all.
No.
There's a couple teams he has, lined up, if you will.
There's some tampering that's already going on.
Tampering that's going on. And
Tamperaging.
Tamperaging, yeah. And
I'm going to be enraged.
Get ready, buddy.
I said it. From an Islanders fan perspective, I want him to stay because if he goes, it's not going to be a team we like.
No.
Just for fun, do you guys think any possibility McDavid moves?
Yes.
It's like McDavid, Kaprizov.
But here's the thing, Jack. You bring up a good question. This is what makes the Kaprizov situation so interesting that I feel like it's not being discussed. Is that, yes, I think they trade him. And I think the issue with that is going to be, unless a team knocks his dick off with an offer, I don't think he's agreeing to an extension before free agency.
Here's another question regarding Kaprizov.
He's a smart guy.
Because seriously, because if McDavid, as we've heard, big chance he goes to free agency, whether or not he leaves is a different story.
I think he stays.
Personally. But Kaprizov's probably going to want to wait and see what he gets first.
Here's the thing that's going to be interesting, is because McDavid's the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be free agents the same year. The best player always sets the market.
Right.
But from what we're hearing, Connor McDavid, if he stays, that number might not be as high as everyone thinks. So there's a world.
I don't think the term will be. I think the number might be.
Well, you got to keep in mind, like, say he, okay, here, this scenario. I could see a world where Connor McDavid says, you know what, I'm giving it 2 more years in Edmonton. Pay me 15 mil. That should be enough where you give me enough money, I'm happy, and we can build around me. 2 years, 15 mil per. And then Kaprizov, teams are going to look at him and kind of be like, well, McDavid's only making this. We're not passing that. Like, he's got to be a little careful too. But I think, you know, his agent will do a good job to be like, listen, that situation is not our situation. If you don't want to pay it, we'll go to market and get as much money as possible. But it's going to get sticky because, like, what does Minnesota do? Because honestly, I'm of the opinion in these situations, you figure it out in the offseason, and if you can't figure it out, you trade the guy.
I feel for these organizations, man, because it kind of like the Islanders being in the spot several years ago. Like McDavid at the end of the day was in the Stanley Cup final in Game 7, and the Oilers, what, scored 1 or 0 goals that first year. I don't remember what happened this past year, but like, dude, you had a chance. Kaprizov, on the other hand, it's not like these guys aren't surrounded with high-end talent. It's just like a small market team that like relies so much on these players. I wouldn't call Edmonton too small of a market, especially being Canadian, but it just kind of, I don't know, man. It's just, these players are really, you know, they're going to break a lot of hearts.
Yeah. It's tough, but I think Kaprizov ends up on another team, but I just like, When is the big question? Are they going to? Yeah, I think there still is a world where they might have a change of heart before the season begins and like, we got to trade him, because then you run the risk of worst case scenario for them is playing him and he gets down.
Hurt.
Yeah. I mean, look at Barkov. Like, what if, God forbid, but what if that happened to them? Then they're screwed.
The real terrible part for Minnesota is they've had to wait like 6 years, I think, for this Parisian suitor buyouts to be done. They've actually somehow remained competitive, but like, this is supposed to be the very, like, the real beginning of their, like, championship window. And now Kaprizov wants to fucking leave. God, that's really brutal.
There's still a shot. I mean, from what I've heard, they're still talking a bit. But it's tough, man. It's tough. And, like, I respect a guy, and everyone will know why I respect a guy, for just being open, like, a year beforehand. And now, no. Like, we got this. Just wait. Because, honestly, we were the guinea pigs, right? Like, we were the ones that had this guy, let him dictate everything and waited, and then he just walked on us. And it's a cautionary tale for everyone else. Like, oh.
Is it really? Was it the one that changed all of these types of situations? Like,
he was the first, like, big name in a while. Ethan, I think you'd agree with this. First big name.
Like, homegrown drafted first overall guy.
Yeah. He was the first one to walk. Like,
of course.
Parisi walked. But, like, I think that was a little different. Like, Parisi was, like, a later first-round pick, and he was a really good player. But I think, like, he was the first one of this, like, new generation, new crop of guys. Because everyone thought it might have been Stamkos. And then last minute, Stamkos stays. And then we're up next, and it's like, oh.
Remember when Garth Snow was delusional enough to think he could get Stamkos?
God.
He always tried. I'll give him credit for that.
Still my podcast interview, White Whale.
Yeah, I'd love to have Garth on. That would be great stories. Oh, I think
you know who needs to facilitate that? Our good friend Jay Bieberman.
Shout out Jay.
Jay, I know you're listening. Hey, return our emails.
From Garth Snow, we're going to switch gears to hopefully someone that doesn't get mentioned in the same breath as Garth Snow going forward. Cap Constrained asked if Darsh's willingness to sell at the trade deadline if the Islanders are playoff bound. Pageau should definitely go no matter how well this season is going. I'd also like to trade Pelech if there's a good offer. Wouldn't you, Cap Constrained?
I'm of the opinion I would like to trade JGP no matter what, because we have Cal Ritchie right there. Like, even if we were making – I don't think there's a scenario where this team is a heavy buyer come the deadline.
I agree.
I don't think they should be. I think they should slow play this. Even if you're good, I look at a team like Columbus last year. They were sort of on the cusp of the playoffs, and they had the option. Do you want to make this big trade and give up future assets to try and go on a playoff run this year, or do you want to play the long game? And a team like Columbus, similar to us, they're not really signing free agents. They might not keep everyone that comes through that door. I think it's better to play the long game, build from within. We got this gift of Matthew Schaefer winning the lottery number one overall. We have to take this not super slow, because we do have good players on this roster, but I don't want a all-in JGP or Kyle Palmieri-style trade if we're on the cusp of making the playoffs. I'd rather run with the roster next year. And if you can, just sell off a couple guys that are expiring just as asset management plays.
Look at it like this, like Drouin being on that, like, one Drouin and Shabanov, those guys are the rentals. They're cheap 1 year, 2 year contracts. Even Palmieri, like, those guys are the rentals. Those are the reinforcements. Like, they're not buying no matter what. The only thing I could see them potentially buying is a backup goalie if the team is seriously good, and it would be at an extremely low cost. Pageau should be traded. Yeah. Pretty much like whenever. Like, I don't really see why he's still here. Like,
I think he should be here for another 14 days.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Nobody wants to eat a shoe, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's going to get interesting. I think if we are right there, it's going to be a tough situation for Darsh, because he's going to want to get the fan base going, but at the same time has to think a step beyond just this year. So
Trading Pajot, though, for him, I think will be a popular move because I don't think a lot of the fans really care so much.
I think it'll be popular because it's the guy that's been on the block for so long, and just logic tells you to do it. You have his replacement in-house. He's on an expiring deal. He's at the top. If we went down the list of Islanders that they would trade, he's number one. And then I would say there's a gap.
Yeah. 100%.
Like from a make sense standpoint. I know some people will say Lee, but Lee's the captain, a guy we could probably see resigning. I don't see a scenario where JGP is here beyond this year, no matter what.
I agree. Same.
Lee, I could see him just staying, maybe cheapish deal. JGP, I'd be shocked if he's on this roster at this time next year.
See, if they like gave him an extension and then traded Cizikas and they were like, Pajot, you're going to be our fourth line center going forward, like that's something I could actually get behind, but I don't see that happening either.
I would still rather sell and get the asset for it because I think like you're going to be in a scenario here where you're going to have Barzal, Horvat, both signed till a while. Richie, you expect to come in, and then you need to pay this guy to be 4C. I don't know. I would leave 4C up for grabs. You don't need to re-sign Pajot under any circumstance, even if you move Cizikas.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Totally
unrealistic. We're at an hour right now. Let's roll through the questions.
Yeah, no more unrealistic scenarios for me. So we have to get through some questions that are meant for a different podcast. So just give me 1 minute here.
That'll be a fun podcast when it comes out.
Yes. That'll be a very fun podcast. Stay tuned. But Thomas Boyle, do you see trades happening before opening night to make some room?
Not major ones, right?
Yeah, nothing earth shattering.
I guess. Like,
I don't see JGP getting moved. That's been my stance since fucking
not at this point.
June.
But okay, is there a scenario where Richie just looks so good he has to make the team that they make maybe a someone gets dealt just for the roster space?
I guess.
It would have to be a center though, and I just don't see it happening.
I think what's gonna happen is Richie's gonna make it, and whoever they need to send through waivers, they're going to send him on the day everyone goes through waivers. When there's like 100 guys on waivers right before the season starts, and just hope he gets down. Like let's say it's McLean. Just hope McLean goes down and passes through because there's 100 other guys that teams can claim.
He'll be able to get through there.
I think so. But you never know. Maybe, you know, some of these teams, you look at some of the rosters around the league, you never know.
Yeah, he really struggled last season.
Yeah, but I could see him bouncing back a bit.
Me too. So Mr. 305, who has impressed you guys so far out of the young guys in preseason that you weren't expecting to show as much as they have thus far? Gleb included.
I was just going to say that. You beat me too. Gleb. Gleb's a dog.
Absolute dog.
And he's big. I didn't realize how big he was.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's big.
Like I saw, you know what it is sometimes? Like you look at these guys.
He's also – can I just say this real quick? He's got a big name.
Like he's going to be a big player name?
No, like if Jack was hosting a party and I was like, oh, I'm coming over and I'm bringing my friend Gleb, you'd be like, that guy's fucking huge.
Yeah.
I think he's either huge or very tiny.
No, huge.
You can't see like a Gleb being like a
no.
Like a flubber?
No, because Gleb is very close to Glob.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a huge name vibe, but
that's a cool name. If you're like listening, no. I want the opinions. Let us know in Discord or Twitter.
I'm trying to think.
Who else? I'm trying to.
I can't say Richie. Or is it too chalky? I mean, the guy, I didn't even expect him to look like that because, you know, we've been hyping up the prospect pool all summer and he's kind of flown under the radar just a little bit. And he's come out and he's been the most impressive player throughout training camp and the preseason. So he's my answer. But other than that, you got to go with Gleb. I mean, the kid scoring 2 goals at MSG. That was just awesome. And I loved how fired up he was. Like you could just tell how much that meant to him. And that's the type of thing that makes watching the preseason enjoyable. Just great stuff.
I have another name just quickly. He only got one game, but I thought he looked good. Luca Romano. That guy looked good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He looked good that team.
Yeah, he did. And moving on is, oh, This one's probably a joke, but Joey asked, is Sorokin even tradable right now? Nope. Josh Elkin.
Never has been.
Josh Elkin is our final question. Project the opening night roster.
Tough.
Well, let's go through the lines quick.
We should do this together.
Okay, line one.
Barzal, Lee, Palmieri.
Yep.
Line two, Horvat, Shabanov, Drouin.
Yep.
Line three, Heinemann says, oh no, I'm sorry. Line three, Duke, JGP, Holmstrom, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now line four is where it gets a little interesting, but still not that interesting in my opinion. I would go line four is going to be Heinemann, Cizikas, Siplikov. Anyone think it's not those 12 forwards?
I think that's probably right.
I think that like it's chalk. I know it's chalk and it's the easy answer. Yeah. But this is the most chalk forward year we've ever had, I think.
Can I give a non-chalk answer?
Richie?
No.
Who?
So top line, Lee, Palms, Barzal. Line two, Holmstrom, Horvat, Drouin. Line three, Duclair, Pajot, Shabanov.
Yeah, it's just it's not about like where they are. It's just those 12 forwards will be the ones rostered. Like
yeah.
That's where they might shuffle the lines a little bit, but I think those 12 guys are the 12 guys.
I can see that coming to fruition, though. Like starting Shabanov in his first couple NHL games on the third line, I don't think that's egregious.
No, it's not. I'm just saying, like, just who's going to make the roster? It's those guys, right?
Yeah. The defensemen are pretty much set too, right?
Yeah. It's just an issue of the pairings.
Even the seventh, it's probably Boqvist, right? Right.
It's definitely going to be Boqvist. Wah loves Boqvist.
And again, it's one of those things where Boqvist, I believe, is on a one-way, right? Signed a one-way.
Yeah. And he was pretty good last year in his minutes.
He's good for a seventh guy that has to fill in every now and then. I'm fine with him.
Yeah. They're just him and D'Angelo are so similar.
I was just going to say, he's going to get the games when Tony D has that just egregious turnover and you're just like head and hands in the stands. Like, Boqvist will be in the next game because it happens. Like, a guy that plays the Tony D style, sometimes you dance on him and then sometimes you fall.
when the goalie was pulled tonight, I think there was just a minute where this can never happen in the real game, because I'm not sure Tony, while he can dance on him, I don't know if he's the greatest mentor, but him and Schaefer were out there with the empty net, the extra attacker, and my goodness, the puck movement in the zone was just like, it was the greatest thing I've watched from this team entertainment wise in a while.
Was that when they scored the second goal?
Yeah, they're just
when like Duclair scored, yeah.
They are just going all over the place. It was just great to watch. Like, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was fun, but I don't know if we're going to see it too much.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see it too much. Tony's got some ways to go before he's mentoring the blue chip prospect there.
Yeah, so just to go D, what do we think on D? I was thinking I think it's going to be like P&P probably to start, maybe Romanov and Tony, May and Chafe. Does that sound like the starting D?
I think Sheafield's your third pair.
Sheafield, I like that.
Yep.
It's not Shagans, but
here's a.
I will say,
Big Head Hockey tweeted this just now. Matthew Schaefer hit 22.11 miles per hour tonight in his first game. When was it tweeted today? In his first game, players who never hit that mark last season: Dahlin, Duchesne, Skinner, Kadri, Michkov.
Okay, well, those guys can't skate.
It's not like a particularly impressive list of guys.
But if you were listening to, if you were watching the actual game, there was only, I think they said literally like five or six different instances where a player on the Islanders hit that speed during all 82 games last season.
No, I think the speed is impressive. I just don't understand why those players.
Yeah, it wasn't like
why those players were listed. Like, yeah, I would have
big names.
Duchesne over now.
Skinner is a big name. Like, yeah, I would hope that the fucking 18-year-old offensive defenseman is faster than Kadri.
Michkov is a big name. They're big names, but they're not skaters. They're not
speed. It's a weird comp.
I guarantee you, if you click on the tweet and go into the mentions, everybody is roasting him for naming the slowest skaters around the league.
Let me see. Hold on.
Because that is like...
Yeah, Michkov isn't a good skater. Three of them are old. Someone posted the clown military meme. It's like Skinner. Is he faster than actual fast players?
Skinner in his prime was a really good skater, but
he's a stud.
All right. Are we done?
That does it.
Okay. Thank you for listening. We're back. Have some fun interviews coming up. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to the Patreon, join the Discord, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Father, where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house, in the middle of our street. Io's house.